Online poker is back. AmericasCardroom.com, your premier site for real money cash, is raising the stakes on February 22nd with the Winning Millions Poker Tournament. This $1 million guaranteed is the biggest online poker tournament to hit the U.S. in nearly 4 years. Right now, you can buy in directly for just $540 or win a free seat through our daily free roll. AmericasCardroom.com will help you get started with a huge 100% first deposit bonus up to $1,000 when you enter bonus code CASH. This is the tournament you've been waiting for. Download and deposit today. AmericasCardroom.com.
Okay, welcome to episode 29 of Ask Alex on the OneOuter.com podcast with me, Barry Chalmers, and Alex Assassinato Fitzgerald. We're delighted to be sponsored by AmericasCardroom.com, and if you listen to the announcement at the start of the podcast, you'll hear that they've got quite an exciting tournament coming up on February 22nd. We'll touch on that with Alex soon. Alex, how are you today?
I'm good, man, but I feel like a diva. I'm showing up on you late these days, you know, if at all. Like, but, you know, now that I'm doing the Twitch thing, I'm like, I think I'm hot shit. So.
Yeah, he shows up late, and he doesn't even hang around to have a cigarette afterwards either. It's like, I feel used and abused in Scotland. I'm like, it's all good. It's all good. You're here now, and, you know, it's fine. I'm just sitting around doing nothing anyway, so we're all good. We're all good.
Yeah.
That's it. So don't forget to follow us on Twitter. A few questions came in through email and stuff, and it really doesn't matter how you get the questions to me. They all filter into the one place. So I'd say the best thing to do is probably email me. That way, because sometimes tweets, you know, you're limited to the 140 characters. And things can be lost, and some people have direct messaged me on Twitter and stuff as well, and it's just sometimes a bit broken up. So the best thing to do is just write your question, and, you know, however long or short you want to do it, and email it to questions@oneouter.com. That way it all comes into my inbox, and I can just copy and paste them into the sort of show notes and read them out directly as they're typed to Alex. Follow us on Twitter @oneouter.com. Facebook group is available at facebook.com/groups/oneouter. And also, Alex has got plenty of ways that we touched on last time to get in touch with him. But the main one is, Alex, your email address?
Assassinatocoaching@gmail.com. Write me if you need anything, or you just want to be on the email list and hear what we have going on. Also, check out PokerEdRush.com. Should be live by the time you hear this.
Cool. So I touched on the America's Card Room event, the Million. They tried that and they had technical difficulties, but we touched on this last time. They refunded everyone, etc. Have you heard any news about like how this event's planned to go and the interest? And I also heard like the buy-in is $540. Just maybe touch on how that would differ from like the Sunday Million and stuff. I was just thinking that, you know, in terms of recreational players, obviously they've got daily satellites and things to get into it, but just in terms of people buying in, do you think that $540 makes a jump for, obviously for real, you know, recreational players that have got a few dollars online, it will.
Oh, for sure, and I hope this one doesn't run either, because then they'll flood us with free money and rake races again. If you paid attention after they had to shut it down, they were like, there's like 21-2 tables going on in rake races where they're giving away thousands and stuff, you know? And by the way, everybody got refunded. So I know we touched on this before, but everybody was like, man, you know, you're with that site. I'm like, yo, explain, man. If it's bad, I'll cut ties. Well, you know, they turned off the tournament. It's like, I don't know. Have you ever heard this? What's the difference between a poker player and a dog? You ever heard this one?
No, I don't think so.
Eventually, at some point, the dog will stop whining. But anyway, yeah, sorry. I couldn't believe how many emails I got when that thing shut down. But anyway, yeah, you know, they had some technical difficulties. They refunded everybody back. It's going to be popping off here again. I'm really excited. With that 540, in a weird way, I saw a lot of goofy-ass play during that tournament last time. And, you know, these pros say, I'm not going to be playing this again. It's like, good, who needs you? But, like, I'll just play with all these recreational guys, you know what I mean? And by the way, they'll all show up. They just like to get a good bitch in before they do it. But it's like, sorry, I'm in a surly attitude this morning, as per usual. But yeah, I don't know. For some reason with the 540, a lot of people are like, there's $1 million guaranteed. Yeah, well, you know, I remembered, you know, like the Sunday Million and stuff, and I never did that. Well, but it's a 540. Ooh, there's more money in it, man. You know, I better come check that out. There's a lot of, like, live players that don't know what the hell they're doing online that just fire it in, you know what I mean? And there's this is me more speaking frankly, but I made a lot of my money, like, from smaller markets, you know what I mean, where people are just gambling. And there's a lot of, like, no, even though, like, America's Card Room's been processing payouts, like, since 2003, and, like, everybody I know gets their money, like, really quickly. A lot of people deposit money into that site, and they're like, well, it's an American site, you know, so it's like, in their mind, it's like, I'm just here for fun, you know what I mean? We'll see what happens. Whereas a lot of people that get onto other sites, they're like, I'm going to be a professional. I'm going to really grind this out. So, I don't know, I see a lot of goofy-ass lines on ACR that I love. And I've been Twitch broadcasting some, like, 1-2 games and stuff. And it's weird. It's like, I'm going to value bet second pair here. No way I could do this on stars. Like, guy calls down fourth pair, like, half pot bet on the river. It's like, there's a free $50. You know, go feed your family for 2 days. And it's just, yeah, it's been a really good time. I'm really happy to be working with this site. It's been really fun, you know, working with them. And then, yeah, you know, it's nice being on a small network, making money, chilling, you know. I mean, it's a good time. And I won a tournament on their site yesterday. It was like, and it was probably one of the easiest tournament wins I've ever had. Like, I also ran really well. At the end, there was Ponosaurus, and you're going to love this. There was a Ponosaurus and a Thesaurus I got heads up with. No, literally, it was Thesaurus. I got heads up with Thesaurus, and I beat him live on Twitch, which was pretty cool. But, like, yeah, people just, like, they, like, oh, I'm going to play an MTT after work, you know, and then a couple hours later, well, I'm a little short sag, you know, fuck this. I'm going to go catch Sports Center, you know, like, boom, vamoo. Yeah. Whereas, like, when I'm playing on Stars, it's like, here's Latvian Cyborg 006527, you know, he's going to play 40,000 tournaments this year, which, by the way, is, I think, like, 4 times the number of tournaments that I've ever played on Stars. And, you know, he's going to get his 6 cents of profit here if he just activates this one rejam here on his 25th table today. And I don't know, even if you look at, like, Mormon stats, like, Sharks who are Mormon, he's just up on, like, every site. But then you, like, get to, like, the mainstream sites, and later on, it's like, you just see those profits, like, you know, and it's not, Mormon's not a fantastic player. He cleans up on every site, but the edges just get smaller the more they make the structure shorter, they make the stack shorter, they, you know, everything's a damn turbo on every other site. It's long structures on ACR. There's lots of, and I'm waxing poetic, but damn, I just love money, man. I love this site. Anyway, sorry. Continue.
I mean, that's always the thing. I used to laugh when people say, oh, I want to play with good players. And I said, like, no, you want to play a volume against.
Exactly, man.
Recreational players. You know?
I made everybody, you know, I had a guy in the Twitch yesterday. He was like, how'd you deal with a 150K swing on PokerStars? And, like, I felt like a bullshitter, but I was like, a downswing. I was like, well, man, I'll be honest with you. I didn't notice it. Like, I was just kind of loading up stars every day because that's what you're supposed to do. And I was losing there, but I was making money on every other site. So it was like, whatever, you know, I didn't really care. And, like, all my money has come from, like, most of my money came from this, like, pissant Russian site that everybody got. It was an awful site. I misclick folded sets like 3 times a day. Like, it was just awful, but, like, the only people who played on it were guys who were into a Russian sports book, and they were terrible. It was just like, literally, the board would come queen 10-5, the guy would have 10-7 off, the money was in. 5-10, the money was in. He just could not fold it, man. He'd raise to find out where he was at, you 3-bet it, and he was like, well, maybe I'm still ahead. You know, and the money just got in. And that's the kind of stuff you're looking for. You're going to get to play with good players. Trust me, wherever there's money, good players will be found. And then you find a way to kick their ass, get Card Runners EV and all that stuff. Write me at assassinatocoaching@gmail.com. I'm securing a bunch of deals with all the tools you see me use on Card Runners. And, you know, I'm going to try to get these for you. I like to get these, you know, cheaper for you guys because I sell a bunch of these copies anyway and I don't get a cut. Now I want a cut and I'm going to get it cheaper for you guys for buying it through me and everybody wins. Oh, also check out Card Runners. That's where you see my training videos. Promo code free month, $15 a month for the first 2 months, $30 a month after that. Anyhow, moving on. Yep.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And I like how you're blending the plugs in now rather than the big thing at the end.
Yeah, man. No, but everybody turns that off, man. Everybody was like mashing their Sirius XM radio, man. Like, turn this shit off, man. Like, I don't want to hear Alex talk for 6 minutes about ways I can make him richer. So sorry.
Yeah, the next thing we're going to do is like subliminal hum in the background.
Yeah.
That like gets it into people's heads. All right, let's get on with the questions. First question is from Ricky. Hi guys, I've played professionally before, but kind of gave it up a couple of years ago. I'm semi-professional now, I guess you could call it. I just can't seem to get a grip on my tilt online. Live, not a problem. Can handle beats, can sit there patiently. But online, I just go crazy sometimes. Any help?
Well, I mean, this is a weird thing, but maybe you should start Twitch broadcasting. You know what I mean? Because, like, I'm just trying to think of ways. I used to have, like, when my students were tilting a lot, I'd be like, you know, have your buddy watch you. He's not allowed to, like, comment on the play, you know? Literally, he shouldn't comment even after the hand is over because you shouldn't teach at the poker table because then people get really, I mean, like, people get really pissed off when they heard they played bad, like, right after the hand and whatnot. But I'd just have somebody play on you and magically, you know, these tilt issues seem to go away when they have to get embarrassed, you know what I mean? The reason you can control it live is you'll feel like a imbecile live, you know what I'm saying? So you got to go on, find somebody to watch you, and do it like that. I mean, this is just like whenever people are like, I can't control my anger. I always think that's bullshit because you get into like a big argument with somebody in their house, somebody comes to their door, right? Like, let's just say it's a random person, like a Girl Scout selling cookies. Like, nobody opens the door and goes, fuck off, to the Girl Scout. They can all control it. You know what I mean? They can all be like, yeah, hey, you know, sorry, right now it's not a good moment or whatever. So you know you can do it. You're choosing not to. Like, you have to realize it is a choice. You think you can't control it right now, but that's an excuse. That's excusing yourself. That's bullshit. You can control it. And if you need some practice, do it. Have somebody around you to watch you. Because one day, I don't know what's your living situation or one day, but I'll tell you, one day you're going to have a wife, you're going to have kids, you're going to have in-laws depending on you, you're going to have a bigger house, everybody's going to be around your house because that, you know, that's going to be the place to be, that's where a lot of people are living at or whatever. And if they see you just like flipping out every few seconds, you're going to tell them, like, this life is not secure. This life I have built you, it could go at any second, just so you know. And that's not the message you want to send. Eventually, you know, nobody's going to, you know, you cannot trade your bad beat stories to pay the mortgage. You know, you're going to have to like get, you're going to have to get better at this. And it's, I know this is a bit more of a tough love approach, but also check out Poker News, Unconventional Tips for Tilt Control. I think it's one of my favorite articles. You should check that out. And just, yeah, Alexander Fitzgerald, Poker News, Tilt Control. Google that, you'll find it.
Cool. And maybe like something you say, you touched on it there, like the Twitch. That's like streaming and people can see you play. You know, and it's lots of things. It's gaming and everything, isn't it?
Yeah, it started off as a gaming site. I tried to get on there a couple of years ago, and they were like, hey, get your white ass off here, man. We can't show real money poker on there. And, you know, I kept trying to sneak on, and they got faster and better every few seconds, right? And then eventually, yeah, and then I couldn't really work in the delay from Costa Rica. But, yeah, it's like gaming. It's all like, I don't know, it's pretty bizarre to me. I was a video game journalist before poker, and like you can still Google, I think, like Alex, actually, I don't know, like Alexander Fitzgerald gaming target. I think Rotten Tomatoes used to have a thing for like gaming writers, but I think they've taken it down. But like, I can't believe like how popular it is to watch movies and all that. To watch it like it was a movie. But people love it, man. It actually is pretty intense. Like, you watch like Well, I mean, I just remember, like, being in South Korea, and you watch people play StarCraft, and it's like, how do they do all this shit? Like, they're just going so fast. And, yeah, with the Twitch thing, you can, like, build in a delay either with third-party software on your end or if they're nice enough to partner with you on their end. And, yeah, you know, people can watch you with the delay. And, yeah, it's pretty fun. We had, like, 200 people watching yesterday, and it was, like, the second broadcast. And it's a, you know, it's a good time. And cool. you don't tilt when people are watching you because it's, you know, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. You might actually even play better. Just, obviously, by not tilting as a consequence, you would play better. But maybe you sort of, like, get a little bit more in that zone where you're sort of, like, thinking through. You know, it's easy just to autopilot, isn't it, when you're sitting in a room on your own with a computer on. Just, yeah, I'll just. And like you say, if your sessions went bad, like, ah, fuck it, you know, gamble here, or I'll call this off, or whatever. Whereas if you've got an audience watching you, no matter how big, even if it was like a couple of friends or whatever, you're gonna play differently.
Exactly.
So,
yeah,
probably a cool thing.
No, it definitely, like, for me, I can't, a lot of people are like, yeah, when you autopilot's a very gentle way of saying playing your C game. You know what I mean? Because you do a lot of stuff you know is, like, goofy. When you're, and it's really easy. It's amazing how much, like, people can kid themselves. You know what I mean? Like, when they're playing poker. And if you just have somebody watching you, like, magically, you know, I cannot tell you how different the sessions are when, like, my like, when I've been managing backing groups and, like, you know, like, I just turn up somebody's table. I don't tell them I'm watching, but, you know, I get to see a few of their whole cards. How different that is versus, hey, record a session for me. I want to watch you play. And magically, they become a better player. But, yeah, next question.
Okay, next question is from Anonymous.
Uh-oh.
No, I don't think it's a bad one.
All right.
You're okay.
Love
the show. Thanks for doing it. Alex, you are an absolute prick. No, I'm joking. I just had to do that.
That would have been amazing if it was Phil. Yeah. I thought it was. Oh, okay.
Anonymous. Love the show. Thanks for doing it. I still struggle to know when to 3-bet light or 3-bet bluff when playing live without my HUD. Would like to hear your ideas. See, it's nice. I was just joking.
I know. It's all good. It was like back in the day on the old blog, like if somebody was going to leave like a comment like threatening me, it was always Anonymous. And I would be, you know, I'd be like, you a bitch, man. Leave your name. We'll see how brave you are now. You know, and it's like for 3-betting, well, one way you can do it just to like get better with the ranges without a HUD. I don't understand why without a HUD. I mean...
He's maybe meaning sort of just
live.
To play like sort of
yeah,
live. He's maybe sort of thinking he's not got a big enough sample on. Maybe he's just looking at the numbers like what their open is or what their, you know, maybe he's not taking as much note of that and stuff.
Well,
and
I mean,
obviously, if you just move to a table and
yeah, I feel you. For me, like one of the things that helped me the most with 3-bet bluffing. Is a couple different tools, Flopzilla and Card Runners EV. What the Flopzilla does is it simulates ranges and it counts the number of hands and assigns percentages and combinations to them. So something you can do like real pen and pencil easy, and like there's much better illustrated versions of this on Card Runners. Like I have PowerPoints and hand histories and stuff. You'll get the idea through the radio, but if you feel like you're not quite getting it, that's the place to go. But the formula is how much you are risking divided by the entire pot you will win if everybody folds, and that'll show you how often your 3-bet needs to work. So if you do it from the big blind, let's say the guy blinds are 500 1K. And the guy makes it 2K from the button. If you make it 6K from the button, you didn't actually make it 6K. You made it 5K. And then you would do 5K divided by 6K plus 2K plus the 500. So it would be 5K divided by 8.5K plus any annies are out there. And you'll get how often your bet needs to work. Now, what does this number mean? That means if with any two cards you could do this play. You could do it with two aces. You could 3-bet with two aces and fold your play will still show a profit. It'll look, you know, obviously you will be minimizing your profit, but it will still show a profit if this guy's folding more than that. Or the dealer could have mucked your hand. It doesn't matter. In fact, in some cases, it actually helps you. It doesn't hurt you to not have a hand. Because if you're blocking particular combinations that you thought would be raise folding, that's not exactly beneficial for you. Although that's more of a flop thing than a pre-flop thing. Now, anyhow, so you get this percentage of how many of his combinations you need him to fold. You look at Flopzilla, and Flopzilla will help you build ranges. Like if he's opening 15% of the hands, if he's opening 25% of the hands, if he's opening 35% of the hands, if you don't know what the hell the percentages mean, if a guy opens and you don't go, oh, that's 40%, you go, well, I think he's opening this, and I don't think he's opening that, and I think he's opening this, I don't think he's opening that. It will give you the number of combinations, that is, or the percentage. And then if you 3-bet to this amount, what percentage of the hands you take there if you're defending? So you go like, oh, he's defending like, you know, he's defending 146 combinations out of the original 370. You put 146 over 370, you divide the two, and you'll get what percentage of the hands he's defending with. Whatever is the remainder is how often he's folding. And then if that number is greater than how often your bet needed to work, bam, tough actin' tin actin', you got some profit there. And I don't know, I always remember John Madden yelling, tough actin' tin actin'. That's something for the Americans. But anyway, did you guys ever see that? Hell no. You guys don't know anything about American football. You watched the Super Bowl?
No. You know what? I watched all the crap on Twitter and this and that.
Jesus,
and people,
kid.
And I just, American football, it's one of these things that, like, when I watch it, I'm like, I wish I could kind of get into that. I've just never, ever gotten into it. There seems like far too many stoppages or something for me. I like the idea of like coaches wearing headsets and stuff and like tactical things and watching that, but it is way over my head. And I kind of wish I could watch it because I love real football, you know, soccer.
Them's fighting words.
Yeah, not these stupid big pads and stuff on.
Don't ever call a sport real if there is an actual strategic advantage to those pussy Italians flopping around like, oh, I got hit. Like, yeah. We just hit you again in the States. But anyway, sorry. No, I'm just teasing.
I wish I could like it because I like watching sport on occasion, like the Open, the World Cup, etc. So it'd be good to have another thing on the calendar. But I'd need to really sit down and try. It's not my thing.
When we're one day when I'm chilling in Scotland, we'll go to the one bar that's showing it, and you, me, three people, and some flies on the wall. We'll watch. And I'll explain to you what's going on. My in-laws love football now, but I have to, like, be the commentator and show, you know, I played football for 10 years. So I can guess, like, what people are thinking and stuff, although a few times I'm way off. And, yeah, by the way, I love the World Cup and real football, too. I like how you guys have a game and it's, like, done in 2 hours or whatever it is, and there's no commercials practically. I love that. But, yeah, anyway, going back to the 3-betting and whatever, but – I totally got off track. But if you get that range and you see, oh, he's folding too much here, then you start, and if you keep, like, analyzing the situations, if you keep getting guys where it's like, he's always opening this hand, he's always defending this hand, I always have to 3-bet bluff. It's even better. And the cool thing with Flopzilla is you can put the ace blocker in there and see how many combinations that reduces his defending range with, and it's pretty fantastic. Sometimes, like, his 4-betting range gets reduced by, like, 12%. And if you want to have all the work done for you, I was doing this work back in 2007 before there was a Flopzilla when, you know, we would have to count the combinations on my hands and toes and, you know, walk 12 miles in the snow to school without shoes. But with Flopzilla got way easier. And now with this new thing, Card Runners EV, it's even crazier. It's like, it will give you like, okay, what do you think this guy is opening? Okay. And then you're 3-betting to this amount. What do you think he defends with? And you construct this whole, like, tree of options, what's going to happen, right? And it takes, like, 5-10 minutes with this situation to do something that used to take a lot longer, like, mathematically. Honestly, by hand could take you, like, 3 times as much. And you hit run, and it'll tell you your exact profitability. It'll be like, this is your profit if you 3-bet, and then you can compare it versus if you fold. And my favorite thing is once you have that thing constructed, you can just, like, slide the bar over to, like, jam, right? And go, is that more chip EV profitable? How much more chip EV profitable is that? And if it is, more chippy V profitable? Is it negligible to the point I would prefer the 3-bet fold so I could retain my stack? And yeah, if you want to get a hold of this program for a discount, write us at assassinautocoaching@gmail.com. I got a wholesaler price. I'll go buy them for you and I'll send them to you. But yeah, anyway, hope that answered it, you anonymous person, you.
Yeah, just to add, maybe like throw my sort of tuppence worth in. For I'm saying it live, maybe just pay more attention at the table or something. I'm not saying you don't, but maybe try and sort of sit down. If you've just moved to a table, then maybe you should wait till you got a little bit more of a sort of read on a few people, yeah, or see how they've been playing and things like that. But also it would depend on a lot of previous hands. Like, you don't have your HUD, but you can see that the guy in seat 5 is like only playing the nuts or whatever, or, you know, they go on their age. A lot of the stereotypes are stereotypes for a reason.
Exactly.
I find they sort of, like, anytime you sit down someone over 50, I don't care what anybody says, they are less likely to bluff, you know? Is just that pure my experience, and it kind of holds, I think.
I have a new thing I'm saying in arguments. I make people angry because I'm not politically correct. I'm correct. And yeah, people don't like that one too much because it is pretty snide. But yeah, a lot of people go like, oh yeah, I know a 54-year-old that can ram a jam on you all day. Okay, the vast majority of 54-year-olds No, they have to open the button, but they're in a social setting. This is their one social outlet. And if you say something like, ah, I'm sorry, I got to do it, and you've been, like, having a little banter with the guy, it's still a comfortable social setting for him, and he's probably not going to get all uppity about it, and he's probably just going to fold with you. Now, the 19-year-old kid who sits down, he's sipping his Rockstar energy drink and showing you his spiffy new pink Beats headphones and his designer hoodie, which for some odd reason always has, like, some Asian painting on it, you know, and he's, like, shuffling the chips back and forth maniacally with his eyes darting around because he's like, I'm like Phil Ivey in reverse, son. You know, when he opens, he's probably not going to fold. That's just, but maybe you could 3-bet call 40x with sevens here and get this putz to show up with ace 4 off. That's totally normal. Now, I wouldn't recommend 3-bet calling with sevens there, but, you know, you could widen it a bit, whereas, like, maybe eights is normally your flatting range. Maybe he'll 4-bet fold to you if you 3-bet versus him real small. So, you know, open your mind to the stereotypes. They're stereotypes for a reason. Be a racist also.
Yeah.
Anyway, so continue.
Yeah, be a racist.
Yeah.
Just looking, I think we'll leave this one till the end because it's quite a nice one to end
all
on.
All right,
it's
good.
But that sort of feeling. Next one we'll go for, actually that's a good one for the end as well, but all right, no, we'll go for this one. This is from Trent. No matter what bankroll management I've tried, I still seem to go bust. I even tried 200 buy-ins at MTTs and went bust, believe it or not. What am I doing wrong?
But whenever I hear the word Trent, the name Trent, it still strikes fear in me, because on my wrestling team, there was a guy named Trent Warren who was built like a brick shit house, and he was nobody would wrestle with him, and like, I played football with him, so like, we were friends, so of course the coach was like, you gotta wrestle with Trent, and he would like, literally, do you guys wrestle in Scotland? Do you guys like, you know, you wear the singlets, and it's like, it's really gay looking.
No.
It's really
no,
gay.
No,
like, that's an Eastern European thing. You guys don't do any of the masculine sports, especially the one. They literally make you get in, like, doggy-style position in wrestling. Well, like, when you start around, like, when the guy had the advantage in the last round, they make you start, like, on top of him. But, yeah, this guy used to, like, punch me around, like, constantly. But, yeah, anyway, a part of me was like, oh, shit, Trent, this is going to be it's going to be a tough question. Great guy, by the way. By the way, you could win every wrestling match after that because it was just a walk in the park. But, yeah, the 200 buy-in thing, I suspect you didn't keep to it. Far be it for me to call you a liar, but 200 buy-ins and you went broke, there is a risk of ruin. It's like I had somebody far smarter than me do the math. I shouldn't say I did the math, but it was like 4 or 5% is your risk of ruin. But you got to be moving down every time you get below that 200. I see a lot of guys like, I'm at 170 buy-ins, and that's pretty close. And then they play, and then they lose, like, because they don't feel comfortable, they lose another 20 buy-ins. It's like, buddy, that was 100 buy-ins. Like, you're now 100 buy-ins down on your necks, you know, if you had ratcheted down by half, you know what I mean? And that adds up, that compounds, it's compounding interest backwards, essentially, just like the last show. Anyway, call back, yeah. That was stupid. Anyway, but like you, it just, you know, you got to like be religious with it. Back when I was building my bankroll, it would like destroy me when like the Sunday million was 215, right? So I needed 43K to play it. And by the way, if I told people back in 2007, I had $42,000, $959.19, and I wasn't going to play this Sunday million, they would be like, just give up. Like, you are the worst. You know, like, I was, to them, I was insane. Right, like you are nuts. You should be playing the Sunday Million if you have $400 and a scratch ticket to your name. Like, but I just, I had to be religious about it because I had this thing and it was like I've done the math. My risk of ruin was still like close to 1 out of 20, and if I go broke, I have to go move back in with my mom in the duplex. You know what I mean? And like, I'm not really gonna be doing that. And I just can't be doing that. So I had to play it up. And then magically one day I had the money to play whatever I wanted. And then I was like, all right, I'll ease up on this 200 big blind thing. And then woo, swing started happening. And it was just, you know, it was all over and poker was all stressful and it wasn't fun as much anymore. If you did the 200 buy-in things religiously, congratulations, you bought an education. B. Paris, a lot of people talk about how good B. Paris is. I've been playing with that kid since 2006. A lot of people go like, oh, man, you played 3,000 short, small stakes tournaments and you're not cutting a living. You should give up, son. You're terrible. Yo, B. Paris, man, struggled for the first, like, thousands and thousands of games. Now he's winning one of the best in the game, and he travels all over the world, plays all the 10Ks, has a, you know, I didn't want to say the next thing I was going to say because I'm not sure if it's true anymore. But it was you know, he's
just sick.
No. I think he has some horses. Yeah, it sounded way more interesting than it is, right? No, and he has a yacht in Milan or something. I don't know. Like, I just had to make something up to make it more interesting as I hyped it up to be. And I myself, I think my like first 2,000 games, I think I had like a negative 30% ROI. I can't tell you how many guys I work with. It's like they were great players for like 4 years, and then their last like 10,000 games, they're down 100K or something. That is my job. I wouldn't have a job if those guys didn't exist and if people who used to be relevant weren't relevant anymore. You know what I mean? So if you're struggling but you're keeping to the 200 200 buy-in thing, you know, rest assured you're getting your practice in because one day you're going to have a lot more money to work with. And if you could keep it all together – when you had like a couple grand to work with, you'll probably keep it all together when you have like 200 grand to work with. So, you know, keep yourself together. I loved weed and drinking growing up, did it every day, every morning, whatever, but you gotta, if you want to be good in this, no weed, no pills, no fucking around, no bullshit, no drinking, just get on your grind, wake up, coffee, hand history reviews, and make sure you get more out of the hand history, learn how to study. And, I got a lot of stuff coming out about that, so check the Twitter, the Facebook, all that stuff. And, you know, trying to make it as much about it, as much of it for free as possible. Anyways, continuing.
Yeah, I would say what you're on about there is true. It's like the 200 buy-ins. It's like, yeah, did you get down to $10 and then play, you know? You know what I mean?
That's the point. That's the point. That's why Barry's here. Barry's the translator, man.
You know, you've got to say, you know, all right, or did you get down to $20 and say, right, you know, here we go.
Yeah, exactly.
You shouldn't even, technically, you shouldn't even be playing $1 buy-ins. Now, I know people, when they get down to $20, they go, all right, I can just throw $20 in.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's fine. Then you are busted. You've busted, whatever. But the key point is like even when I did this and I was doing the 180 man's, I would, like yourself, Alex, religiously, if I was down to, you know, whatever, right on the threshold, I was playing the lower level and that's it. I would go down to the 250s. The amount of times I went from the $8 back down to the $2.50 ones, etc., and I wouldn't touch the you know, the 800s till I had $1,600 plus in the account. if I dropped down to 15.80, I was playing the $2.
Exactly,
you know?
Man. Exactly.
Because it's the system is only a system if you're going to follow it. If you're going to, like, it's weird. You got to take yourself. The best way I can explain it is completely take yourself out of it and submit almost like to a religion, you know,
yeah.
or like some sort of cult, and just go. This is. I had it on my desk, and like my girlfriend printed me out the like instructions. I framed them, and it was like the levels. And if I didn't have that, I could not play it. And if you do and you go against it, you're only cheating yourself. You're only you're just bullshitting yourself, you know. And no matter how counterintuitive it seems, like Alex says, like, I've got X amount of money, you know, I could play a couple. No, because if you play a couple and you're not winning at that level, you've just blew so many more buy-ins at the level that you're actually winning at. And you're like, you know, you're just causing yourself problems. It's like, it's so boring and it's so counterintuitive and it's so, you don't want to play the lower level, etc. But that's why it's hard and that's why so few, you know, succeed, like, when they try and do it. You've got to completely actually follow it. Like you say, you get down to $50, it's like, right, you got 200 buy-ins at, what's that? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I think
that's it. Yeah, you know, it's like, yeah, 25 cents, I think it is. Yeah, something like that. It's
shit,
like,
man,
that's, you know, that's what you're playing, you know, sort of thing. Or, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy. But you got to do it. You got to do it. And if you do get down to like the $20 or whatever, and you go, yeah, my time's not worth this or that, then Alex has touched on it before. Save up the money from outside, from a part-time job, whatever. Get that, whatever you think mentally, you, like, kick on, like, $500 or whatever, $1,000 for your role. But definitely the 200 buy-ins, so religiously stick to it or you won't, you know, because you get down to, like, your last $60, $70 and you go, blah, like that, you know. Cash game.
I mean, you touched on, and I mean, but for the record, Barry doesn't even like poker, and he's probably made more money at it than a lot of people who really love it. Because
I like poker.
Oh,
I'm just
messing with you.
Yeah,
it's too easy.
I don't like it as much as I used to, but I think that's because from a personal point of view, I wanted to. You know, without blowing your trumpet, you know what I mean, again, you know.
Yeah.
I wanted to be like, you know, I thought, right, an Alex Fitzgerald, a Sean Deep, these type of online this and that. And when I knew that I couldn't put in the hours to study, I had to be truthful to myself and knew I would never reach that level. So I kind of lost interest because I knew I would never really do really, really well at it. Or if I did, it would be pure luck, you know.
Right.
And eventually I would go bust whatever. So as soon as I knew I couldn't put those hours in for the studying, I stopped playing professionally, you know, and now I dabble whenever. And I enjoy the game a lot more. I really, you know, if I do sit down and play poker, I enjoy it. The beats don't annoy me one bit because it's not my income anymore, you know.
Yeah,
it doesn't
bug you. And a lot of things here to unpack, but a lot of what I'm working on now is trying to I'm trying to get guys like you who don't have, like, a lot of the reason Shandeep and I are where we're at is because we started in 2006 and we didn't have, we didn't have, like, kids to take care of and, like, a mortgage or any of that. So, you know, we didn't have school to go to. So all we did was play poker for 16 hours a day. My whole thing now is, like, how can I get you the lessons that took me 10,000 tournaments in, like, 20 minutes, you know what I mean? So we're going to start, you know, doing a lot of, like, here's some, like, baseline assumptions that took me years and years to learn, you know, and I can show you how you can adjust them, because they adjust every day, right? And if you don't know how to adjust it, you might be following a guideline you saw in a training video made even 3 weeks ago, and it's still not relevant, you know what I mean? But if you know how to actually come to it, you can play, you can do some prep work, like an hour or two of prep work, and then show up at the table and you'll be kicking some ass like every day. We're really looking into that. So, you know, follow and all that. And also, yeah, you touched on something. There's no shame in a real job. Phil Ivey was a telemarketer. I was a commercial fisherman. You know, I know a lot of guys that were waiters. And one of the, most of the guys who go pro, I know, like, went to school. If your parents will pay for school, my parents weren't going to pay for school and I didn't have the money for it. You know, so I didn't go. So when I hear kids are like, oh, yeah, my dad would drop $50K on my education. It's a real relevant career. But, you know, man, I just love poker. Like, I'm like, man, if you're not, you know, if you're not banking six figures this year, you're a fucking idiot, man. Like, seriously. Like, go to school, get your degree, find a way to do the job remotely if you can, get it down to 20 hours a week, then devote 30 hours a week at poker. Those are the guys that always go pro because they don't need the money. They're like you. The beats don't affect them, but they still got 30 hours to devote to it because they went and got their degree and they hustled, and now they're making some good money. That's the kind of stuff you want to be doing. No shame in that. Nobody... I went pro at 18. It was like the shittiest life you could imagine. You know what I mean? Living in these crap apartments, hole-in-the-wall apartments, like while I was trying to make it work. You don't want to do that. Grow up with other people in school. Stay in school. Get a good job. Save up money. Then get into poker. Set aside time. You'll enjoy it way more, and you're way more likely to make it.
Yeah, good advice. Actually, really good advice that a lot of people still ignore, and then they end up just, you know, what the fuck happened sort of thing.
Bitter, wandering Las Vegas on angel dust. Yeah, I know the story.
Yeah, it's all fun until you wake up with, like, someone. I'll be really graphical. We'll leave it there because I do know
some. Are we doing a story time, Barry? You got something to tell us?
No.
Yes.
You said it wouldn't hurt.
My wife is telling me to shut up. All right, sorry. Go ahead. She's got the maintenance guy here to fix the washing machine, and we've been trying.
Oh, this like sounds like the start of some video.
Yeah, right. Now we're thinking like that. I don't know if this guy's pretty big. I wonder if he could find it. Like, I don't know. Like, he's got a big
guy. Like, I wonder, he's quite big. I don't know if he can find it. It's just like, oh. So many innuendos.
Yeah, it's like, I thought about it as I said it, but I was like, damn, right. This is gross. This is grotesque.
Let's clean it up.
Moving on. Jesus Christ, I need a cold shower. Anyway, continuing.
Okay, next one. Right, we've got two here. Let's see. I'm just going to hit you with it and we'll finish on that one. We'll start with a negative. Well, it's kind of negative.
Good. I love
it. It's from Gregor. Can you talk about your biggest regret in poker or anything that sticks in your mind and comes back to haunt you continually? That one big blow up or something. Thanks again, guys. Love the show.
I was withdrawing and I had like one of the chip lead stacks in the WSOP. I don't even like really regret this. It was like the WSOP main. I was like withdrawing. I was like in a really bad way, man, because I like, you know, after being like toasted on something from like 15 to 22, and I had the brilliant idea of like, I'm going to win the main event sober and I'm going to tell everybody I got sober this week, right? Not the greatest idea, right? So I'm like withdrawing and like seeing shit. I don't know why, but I was like, I had a flush draw and then I was thinking like, I bet, and a guy raised and his range was like really polarized, right? I was thinking like, I should shove here, right? And then the next thought I was thinking was like, oh man, you know, I got too many chips for that. I should, and then I don't, to this day, Bear, I couldn't tell you what happened, but I said all in. Like, to this day, I could not tell you. I literally shoved like 3x pot, right? And the guy had the nuts, of course. I missed the flush draw, of course. And I like left the main event and like, I mean, I was just destroyed, man. I don't know what it was pretty bad. Like, I literally had to pull my hood over myself because I was like, I might just start bawling my fucking eyes out here at any second, man. Like, I was, there was really, like, that was really the point. I was like, I've ruined my life. Like, I don't have control over my faculties. I've done too many drugs. I don't think I'm going to be a poker player anymore. I'm not going to say names, but there were guys that used to be world champions that you haven't seen win anything, and they've played every single event. You know they're drowning in debt. And guess what? I didn't even have the clout to drown in debt. You know what I mean? Like, I was just, I thought it was over, man. Like, I thought, like, that was it. And, I, by the grace of God, I got sober. You know, I mean, but at the same time, like, I don't even really regret it because if that moment hadn't happened, like, I thought about that moment, like, every day. And I was like, I woke up and I was like, I gotta get high. I gotta get high, man. I was, like, literally, like, tying my shoes. I was like, fuck, this would be so much easier if I was high. Everything sucks. Like, I can't believe this. And then, you know, I would think back to that moment. And I was like thinking, you were probably playing. You got like one of the chip lead stacks in the WSOP when you were withdrawing. Imagine how bad you were playing when you were high, right? You know what I mean? And then I was like, you could get back there, dude. You could get back there, man, if you could just get your shit together. So I get out. I was in the fucking projects in Costa Rica because I knew I was going to destroy the house I was detoxing in, right? So I was like, I'm going to rent like a $200 a month apartment, and I'm going to pay them like $600 for the drywall because I'm pretty sure I'm going to literally slam my head through the wall at some point here because this is so bad, right? And I would just go jog like 10 miles every morning. It was just like, you know, like go through the basketball court, like run into the chain link fences, like, you know, like you got to feel it, you got to sweat. Every time you sweat, you're sweating it out of your system. Like all that stores in your fat, man, you're just sweating it out. And it's like, I mean, yeah, I mean, I have a lot of regrets, man. Like, but I mean, what am I going to do about it? Like, seriously, what is it going to do? You know, like if I regret it, it doesn't do anything. I backed people I shouldn't have backed. I made every mistake you could have done. I changed my Full Tilt account when it had the highest account balance it ever had from Costa Rica to the United States so I could go play that stupid-ass NAPT that didn't exist before or since. And guess what happened a few weeks later? Da-da-da, April 15th. I got debt. You know, I invested in businesses I shouldn't have invested in. You know, I was real pathetic, and I got strong. I did everything wrong, but I'm still here. You know what I mean? I can't... I really think you, you know, you give yourself to Christ, you give yourself to something higher, you work out, you know, you stay sober, you know, that's a really big thing. No fucking around, no bullshit, no weed, no pills, no drinking, none of that, man. Like, I really think you get the rewards. And even if you don't make it in poker, if you're just sober and you're like doing better at your job, you're more likely to get raises, you're more likely to meet a good person when you're like polite and together and stuff, and you're trying to keep a positive attitude. I knew a friend of mine. He was like, I mean, this dude is like categorically shy. Like he probably has something on, I don't know what spectrum or whatever, but like he has a really hard time talking to people, right? Like really hard. Like I'm one of his best friends and he still had a hard time with it. But he just devoted to, like, he never did anything. He was always sober, and he always put himself in these uncomfortable situations. And, like, you know, it was hard for him to talk to a girl, but he made sure he would, like, try to do it, like, all the time. Now this guy, like, his Facebook is like some rock star. It's like, oh, I went skydiving. Me and my girl are chilling, and we're doing this. And it's like, you know, I just read this great book. I was thinking about this. This guy, you know, I just got this promotion at my gig, you know. Now I'm, like, the foreman of this, and I love my job. Mm-hmm. I love my – it's like – you know what I mean? You keep your crap together. Like, it will, God forgives, you know, straight up. And, like, everything will come together. And sorry to get all religious on you guys, but this is seriously what I believe. So, you know, you can just put up with it. You can fast forward through it. You can groan if you like. But I really believe that. And your regrets, I mean, some of your worst moments, man, can propel you to make the change you couldn't do before. That pain is really important. You know what I mean? That can get you up at 6 a.m. to run. That can get you to, like, if you remember that awful, awful moment, you might not take that drink or whatever, you know, or you might not tilt it off the next time you're deep. So if you think about it like that, I think you can turn a negative into a positive.
Cool. Can I get a hallelujah?
Yeah. I went to one of those in the Bahamas, man. I went to one of those, like, churches. My wife, like, turned at me halfway through. She was like, he sounds like a death metal singer. Because, like, he was, like, cupping the microphone. He's like, and then the great Lord is going to bring you up. And, you know, like, black ladies, like, you know, sitting up in their Sunday best. Yeah, you know, you sell them, you tell him. Anyway.
It's so good. I think I could get into that. Like, I've always thought, I'm not a regular church goer or anything, but I've always thought I'd love to go to, like, a gospel church. It just looks great.
They're pretty badass, man. They're pretty... Yeah. Until they start, like, you sing. It's like, you don't want to hear the white boys sing or dance, all right? Yeah, I promise you that. Like,
Speak for yourself.
I know... Yeah, I don't got flow, man. Read all the reviews of my first battle rap. Alex has no flow, man. This is the whitest shit I've ever seen. And he looks like he's about to have an aneurysm. But, yeah, anyway, continuing.
Okay, last question is from, where are we? Because I said I'd read out last, so I just need to read it back.
Yeah, you gotta go. You gotta scroll
up. Ah, here we go. I gotta scroll up. It's weird. Okay, it's from Malik. Can you talk a bit about WSOP 2015 and what you will be playing, Alex. Thanks.
It's the final countdown. Anyway, oh, my wife has a patient now. I really should shut up. No, I mean, well, for tax reasons, I can't be in the States for that long. Otherwise, I lose, like, it's like literally, like, you get, like, you don't have to pay income tax on, like, the first, like, 90, 100,000 on what you make, but you cannot be in the States for, like, I think it's, like, 320 days out of the year. You got to be outside of the States, 325. So, like, literally, if I'm there a few extra days, it's going to cost me $33,000, which I think is, like, it's like literally the entire WSOP again. You know what I mean? So if you have 100% ROI, congratulations, you just lost it. Like, so you have to, you know, I kind of go into, like, the last couple of weeks and, like, you know, I like Vegas for, like, a couple of weeks, you know. I really, you know, now that I'm learning how to fire firearms, you know, I really want to go to that place where you can, like, fire the M16 and Uzis and shit. And
God, I did that in Latvia, but I never did it in Vegas.
You did it in Latvia. They have.
Yeah.
The Latvians are, like, the most peaceful people in the world that I've met, so that's amazing. Like,
This was in Riga. We went for New Year, I think it was 2006, me and a few friends, and we went to this shady, shady place. But you got on, like, this bus out there. You got off. It was, like, a country road. You walked. There was, like, a gun shop, and then you went down this basement, and there's, like, a guy with a leather jacket and a fucking polo neck on. Like, you stand here. I literally could have turned and shot him, you know? It was, like, fuck. Like, it was good fun, but it was very dodgy, very definite mafia-run thing. You know, it was, like,
that's pretty amazing.
Really out there, really out there. And, like, I got to fire, what was it, an AK-47,
beautiful,
a little, like, Beretta, like, 9mm thing, handgun, and a pump-action shotgun. That's the one
she
got.
We got it.
And there was no safety. You just stood. It was like a garage. You know, somebody's, like, basement, and, like, there was no glass things. You did get the earplug thing that you put over your thing. But apart from that, it was insane. I mean, you could have, as soon as the guy handed you the gun, he could have shot you or you could have shot him, which is supposed to happen at any place where there is firearms, you know.
Yeah.
But it was very, just the surroundings, you know, this wasn't, like, legitimate.
That's pretty beautiful, man.
Yeah, it was good fun, but...
We have to call this episode Pump Action Shotguns and Jesus. This is the one, like, we needed a skit on hard liquor, too, that would have completed the ghetto compilation. But, I mean, I love Vegas, and, like, I'll probably play... I don't know, the schedule came out, but I didn't... I was like, oh, I'd like to play that crap. Oh, I'd like to play that crap. You know, it's like, it's not near the main event. They kind of wind down before the main event. And then everything picks up, like, the week or two around it. So I try to be around there, and I try to play. I don't know, but, like, I played the Venetian 5K last year, and I was like, man, this is a crappy, crappy tournament. Like, this is just me and all my friends, you know what I mean? And then I played a 1K of the Venetian that was pretty dope, except for... You know, like, they're trying to get your ass out the door, you know. There was just so many people. And then, you know, I really enjoy playing live poker, but I don't know. I try to take a more positive view on Vegas because I realize my attitude really does make it kind of crappy sometimes. And, you know, it's fun to, like, go see concerts at the Hard Rock, fire weapons legally, all that, go to, what was it, Mount Charleston and all that, but... You know, you're kind of there to work, and it's not as cool of a place as, like, the Bahamas. And, like, if you go to these EPTs, it's like you can get, like, 30, 50K buy-ins in, like, a week or two. That takes, like, 2 months at the WSOP. So it's not even, like, it's not as worth it as a lot of people think it is. I love playing the main event. I would love it if I could, like, rub two chips together in it since I got sober, but, you know, that's always the best, but that's my biggest regret is I seem to have gotten all my big opportunities when I was high as a kite and I can't even remember it. And it's like, once I, you know, got sober, it's like, oh crap, like, poker's really hard. Like, you know, if you don't just jam and get there with your three outer, this game is kind of tough. Like, but yeah, you know, it's going to be a good time. It's, you know, you can come, Maybe we'll do that thing at the Starbucks that Barry is so fond of that he always brings up, you know, in the last episode. And yeah, we can all talk and whatever, you know, see what's going on. But yeah, no, this should be good. I feel like I should have a better answer to this, but it's just, I don't know. It's like, yeah, I'm going to play the WSOP main event. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to win it, but, you know, it's fun to try. And that's pretty much all that's going on.
It'd be great for you to get a run in it. I mean, I know that everybody thinks that, but just to get, you know, a bit for, like, your followers and for the podcast.
For sure, yeah.
You know, it'd be good.
I'll be honest with you guys. Like, when I just play poker on my own, like, I mean, there's something, like, you do something every day since you're, like, I'm 27 years old. I've played poker literally every day since I was 15 years old. Like, pretty much every day. Even when I was, like, commercial fishing, like, I would play on the boat, you know what I mean? And when I was working security, I'd come on and play. Like, once you, like, you know, I mean, 12 years of that, I mean, I don't care what it is. Like, you read the books about, like, you read the books about, like, famous, like, guys in porn, you know what I mean? They say, like, they get really bored of it after a while, too, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is not that. You know, this is sitting at a poker table, sitting, and I'm, like, a pretty active dude, man. Like, I was, you know, I was into wrestling and football and, like, boxing and all that stuff. And, like, you know, you go from that to, like, just sitting on your ass every day, you know what I mean? Like, it's not as interesting as it used to be, but the whole thing is because of the fans, for the following. If the following sounds kind of cultish, but like more I feel kind of like a dumbass saying my fans, you know what I mean? But like, yeah, it's all for like it's like a blast doing these like Twitch broadcasts, you know what I mean? And like, yeah, tweeting, going deep in the main event would be so dope just to like tweet. You know what I mean? And maybe I'll get a fair shake on the WSOP coverage because Joe Stapleton sure is letting me have it on the EPT. But, you know, like, it's just really, like, it's just really cool to do it for all these guys. And, like, you know, meeting you guys out there and, like, you know, hearing. It's, like, nothing makes me happier than hearing, like, you know, man, I'm making a living now because of, like, stuff you taught me. And then, obviously, other people taught him as well. But, you know, like, that's our, like, man, I went deep in a tournament, and I always wanted to go deep in this one. I never could do it. Now I can do it now, man, and you helped me with that. That really means a lot. So, yeah, from the bottom of my heart, guys, thank you for supporting.
Cool. On that note, Alex, that's all the time we've got for questions this show. You just want to let people know how they can contact you again for private lessons, etc.
How much time?
You just want to wind yourself up. Let's try and do it in a minute.
Let's try and do it in a minute. All right. And if you guys want to support
the show. I'm actually going to do it. Right? Wait, I'll give you an actual timer.
All right. Let's see if I can do it. All right, I'm not going to do it, but I'll try. Check me out at facebook.com/assassinato, Twitter @TheAssassinato, Twitch /TheAssassinato. Write me at assassinatocoaching@gmail.com if you want to find out about any of the webinars. Check out the new pokerheadrush.com. Should be out by the time you see this. Read my articles on Poker News. I was going to say GameSpot. That doesn't make sense. Poker News, Bluff, pocketfives.com, and go to Card Runners. Use promo code FREEMONTH, all capitals, $15 a month for the first 2 months, $30 a month after that. Lots of great contact. Pick up Why Ape Styles is Right. It's our new Rolls Royce of webinar packages. Learn why I'm always flatting from the big blind doing these goofy-ass bluffs post-flop. And if you're in the Dallas area, check out the, you know, fuck your Sunday. Come out on the 15th and watch me battle and crush Plan 9's life away. Take care. There you go. How'd I do?
52 seconds.
Wow, I thought I was at a minute something. I thought I was at a minute something.
No, you did well. You did good.
Follow on Twitter and Facebook because we don't have the venue yet for the place in Dallas. But I don't care if it's a parking lot. I'm handing this kid his ass. Anyway.
Okay, so if you want questions for Alex to deal with on the next show, get them into questions@oneouter.com through the email. Tweet @oneouter.com, that's @oneouterdotcom. Join the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/oneouter. You can download this episode from oneouter.com or on iTunes. Just search One Outer Podcast on Google or iTunes, you'll find us somehow. Until the next show, which will be our 30th, and we're not going to do anything for it because, like, I'm 31, and 30's nothing to be celebrated. So let's just leave it at that. Until the next show, cheers.
Cheers.